believing, go ahead and shift gears, get in faith, hallelujah. You know, I tell this story, but God wanted me to get all the benefits out of every church service that I went to, and I didn't know it as a young Christian. And so I went to church one night, and when I got to the doors, I could see me on the inside. All of a sudden, I saw me. It's like I was looking down, which I wasn't. It was just the Holy Spirit, and I could see me in coveralls, insulated coveralls. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, "Take them off. Take them off." I'm almost at the door going into a service. I'm 27 and a half years old. I'd been saved about 5 months, you know. But anyways, so I thought, take them off, you know. And then all of a sudden, I had an understanding that was cares of this world. That was troubles. That was all my flaws. That was all my faults. That was all my shortcomings. That was everything that was going to try to hinder me from getting everything out of that service that God wanted me to get. See, what I mean, and that's why I say it, just about every service here, you know, I say, are you believing? You know, because I realize all through the Bible, from Genesis all through the Bible, that their expectation of God delivered them. Their faith in God, their expectation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go ahead, Beth, you can start it because I don't know where I'm starting at. I realized, you know, all of the expectations that these people had based on what God had said brought a manifestation of God. And every time that I can recollect in my life that I have really set out to believe and trust God, I put those coveralls off, so to speak. I laid it all down and I told God, I'm going in this place and I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to worship you. You know, I had a lot of challenges in my life at that time, you know, and jealousy and all. I mean, jealous of my praise and worship leader. I know y'all shocked. I just come out of the world. But I was born again. I was jealous of everybody in my wife, you know. But see, God was taking me and taking me past the outer courts. We sang that song, "Take me past the outer courts. Take me into the inner place, the inner courts." You know, and God, little by little, was taking me and Teresa into the inner courts, into His presence, into where the people of God were come together, and they had prepared their messages, and they had prepared their songs, and they had fasted and prayed, and they had the prayer warriors that prayed and sought God, would prophesy and different. God was taking us out of the outer courts. Church is a place of power. I don't care. I don't feel like power most of the time. But it's not about me and you. It's about Him and His presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that we have that is in us that teaches us. The anointing that destroys yokes and lifts burdens. God began to teach me about prosperity, and people can get upset all they want to. I've walked this thing out in my personal life despite what people says, and made sure that my heart wasn't after trucks and cars and money and garage doors and bulldozers and blah, 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 and all the things that money can give you the power to have without God. Money can give it to you without God. But money can't give you the blessing of God. Money can't give you the power of God on your life. Money can't give you the protection of God. And things can't give you the delivering power of God. But they can give you the things of this world. Satan offered them to Jesus, you know, but he began to teach me. God began to teach me because I was asking Him. I was started to a church where my pastor would always say, "The will of God, the will of God." So I want to know the will of God. Faith comes by hearing. You know, so I'm like, I want to know the will of God. Is this really real or not? Some of these preachers saying it ain't. Some of them told me because I was called into the ministry that I'd signed up for poverty. that you know you're not supposed to go after, you're not supposed to have money, you're supposed to be rich spiritually and all of that stuff, you know. And see, Satan tried right off of the get-go, me running out of the gate to get me warped up. But you know what me and Teresa were? We went to this Word. We were Word people. She reading 10, 12 chapters a day, and I got jealous because I had to work and I couldn't read as much as she was. She could read, and I told God, I said, she's not going out run me, God. She's not going to outrun me. See, God was using those things to get me deeper in Him and deeper in the... So I begin to go to the Word and I begin to say, God, show me. And so He begins... When you do that, God will begin to carry you to His Word, not twisted. God will back up what He says to you two or three times in that Bible. He will back it up. And when you make a doctrine on something that you only pick one scripture, like women are to be silent in the church, you've made a doctrine. It's doctrines of demons. You've took one scripture and made a doctrine that is carrying the church out of the will of God. You don't take one scripture and make a doctrine and take the church on a journey that is going to lead them to destruction. The Bible says that if the blind lead the blind, see, I can't go by my own understanding. I seek the Lord for understanding in the blessing, understanding in the will of God. See, I might need $1 million. You may not ever need it based on what God's doing in my life, right? God may be asking you just to help somebody pay their light bill every month. Well, you don't need 300. Well, you might need 800. See, God, it's not putting an amount on everybody supposed to come to this conclusion. That's false doctrine too. God's the one that knows what He's put in our life. Don't you know that the Bible says that before we were born, He knew us? I believe that God knew me before I was born. I believe that God had this right here in 2024. I believe that He knew that I'd be standing here in Blountsville before I ever got here on the earth in 1967. I believe that my wife, He knew who my wife was going to be. I believe that He knew my son, and I believe that He knew the ones that are in heaven, that I would have more kids. Me and Teresa would probably try to outrun Mom and Dad. They had 17. I doubt it, but she wasn't up for it, but I was. But the title that I've actually put on it, and I thought about, well, I'm my pastor here this morning, but anyways, I mean, I'm about this prosperity thing, and he warned me about some stuff, you know, and I'd go off and I'd think, well, he's just against it. He's seen all this bad stuff, you know. And so I did tell him one time, I said, well, you know, Brad, just cause some misuse it don't mean it's wrong. Just cause some misuses confession don't mean it's wrong. You know, I mean, he wasn't trying to tell me, you know, prosperity wasn't God. He knew it was. And he said, well, he said, you know, he said the blessing is on the life of Jesus. That was life-changing. At that moment, because I'm asking God, he don't know it. He don't know what I'm asking God at home. I don't know what you asking God at home. I don't know what you believe in God for. I don't have to know what you believe in God for. Your God hears you. The Bible says that His ears are open to the cry of the righteous, and that's me and you. And the Lord told me this morning, He said some of them don't believe they're righteous, although they've got Jesus in their life. And it's because you don't understand righteousness. Righteousness is not dipping, not smoking, not wearing no earrings, not chewing, not hanging around anybody that does, and all of that. That's the fruits of righteousness. But righteousness comes by who? Jesus. We have been made the righteousness of God through Jesus. Even though you may still have a little bit of construction you need over here, and construction you need over there, and a little bit of growing over here, and a little bit of changing, and a little bit of not getting angry, and a little bit of not you know, ain't quite got it where you can forgive, you are still the righteousness of God if Jesus Christ has came into your life. If you have accepted Him The Bible says you have been made right with God. Already made right. See, I went up there and I don't remember if Brad knows it or not. I mean, I thought I was okay. I mean, I felt like they blessed to get my dollar when the offering plate comes around. I'm telling you. Tracy, she don't even give nothing if you're, shut up. It's my dollar. I worked all week for it. They better be glad they're getting my dollar. Well, I'm just telling you, you know, I mean, that's the way that I was, you know, I would, because I'd been making all of my own choices all of them years, rebelling against my parents, rebelling against school, rebelling against authority. The cops called them pigs. That's why I will not allow y'all to call them pigs here. They're gentlemen. They're policemen. They're ordained of God. They protect me. I call them if I need them. I'm not going to call them drug heads. Hey, y'all thugs, come on down here, man. They're about to rob my stuff. I'm going to call what? The policeman. But anyhow, I'm not off on my life. See, the life of Jesus is blessed. And what I mean by that, the more that I allow the nature of Jesus, the character of Jesus, do what? To yield the way He would yield, think the way He would think, talk the way He would talk, the more of the empowerment of God comes on that life. Because we are the anointed one, and His anointing is coming out. The anointed one, Jesus Christ, wasn't His name. Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. He wrote that. That's why when he stood up and read the scroll and he had took the book of Isaiah chapter 60 over there, Jesus did. He had a revelation. See, He wasn't born knowing, I'm Jesus down here. You better bring me a good bottle of milk. I mean, he went to church. Somebody say, church. Jesus went to church. His people went to church. They took Him to church. They took Him where the word was preached. He read His Bible. I believe He done like Joshua said. I believe He done like Joshua did when Moses had died and Joshua was taking over. God told him, He said, get that word I give Moses. He said, and meditate on it day and night. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And God spoke to me when I read that one day. I noticed it. I thought, hey, God, it didn't say you would. I thought it said He would. Holy Spirit makes you realize these things that's in the Word of God. He causes them to stick out to you, called quickening. It's called an enlightenment. It's called an illumination. It's called to me revelation. That's why you can't break me. You can't keep me sick. You can't keep me weak. Open heart surgery can't keep me out of church, but just as long as they let me out of the hospital, I'm back in here. And my pastor is, don't preach. Take it easy now. And I'm like, well, I'll take it easy, but I've been 3 weeks, man. I'm feeling like I'm having withdrawals. I'm addicted to preaching the Word. I can't help myself. I enjoy it. Why? Because it's my destiny. And you know what? When you're hungering for God, see, that's your God-given destiny. The Bible says that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And that's what I figured happened to me and Teresa. I don't really know, but we come out of the gate, man. We come out of the gate, so to speak. We dedicated to church. We're going to church. I mean, Satan tried to stop us, you know, and tell us, you know, if we live in a grace period and you don't have to go to church anymore, we're all the children of God and it's already sealed and all of that stuff, and we wouldn't believe it. We read the word, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, and it busted that false doctrine out of the water. God's word did. I asked that dude, I said, what Bible y'all got? I want to know, man. I mean, you couldn't get too many translations down. You can get it translated down to where it's like, what in the world does that mean? A certain translations took the power out of it. A certain translations of the Bible, they've translated and they put their own interpretation in it. They're trying to rewrite our Bible. They're doing it to where it fits the culture. It fits the gay rights. It fits the wokeism. It fits all of this. I mean, it don't offend nobody. Jesus didn't come not to offend me. Jesus come and His word cut me sharp. Let me know that I was lost without God. Some of even the preaching today, every road leads to God. Now there's a road that leads to hell, and the Bible is very clear about it. All roads don't lead to God. Buddhism don't somehow lead to God. There ain't but one God. There's many gods that people have made up in their mind that they worship. And some of them is like Teresa put out today, they worship themselves. So I wanted to make sure as a young Christian that I didn't put my will before God's will, because then I become my own idol. I become my own God. I decide I'm not going to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. Put a label on anything you want to, sweetheart. Don't bite that bullet. And whenever the world tries to get you to start to neglect the kingdom of God, the things of God, that's when you raise up your armor and you say, God, I thank You that You have anointed me. And I'm anointed, God, and I thank You, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. There's many adversaries that's tried to get me to quit the church in the times of hardship and trouble and financial trials and people leaving and all of that stuff, you know, went through. The Bible says, and I would take the scripture. Somebody say the word. I would take the word of God where He told them over there. He said, you went through the fire. Psalm 66, I believe. You went through the fire. You went through the flood, but I brought you out to a wealthy place. Psalm 66:12. It's not my message. That's what He's saying. See, you might have to go through the fire. You might have to go through the flood. But your God said, He told them, He said, but I brought you out to a wealthy place. Caleb and Joshua went in and conquered that land. Listen, they just didn't get over and all them enemies say, oh God, your God is the biggest God. We're just going to leave. Y'all just come on in. No, they went over there and they took down them. They took down everything that was occupying the promise of God. How many knows we have to go and we have to occupy and take down those enemies? Like Brad said, He always causes us to triumph. He always causes us to conquer our enemies. Fear is your enemy. Worry is your enemy. I'm not worried about this election. Come on, somebody. I'm not worried about the next 4 years. I'm not worried. I'm not overly concerned. I'm going to do my part. How many knows Jesus tells us to occupy? Jesus tells us in Romans 8:14, it says, those that are led by Fox News, these are the sons of God. Those that are led by CNN, ABC, the mayor, the president. No, it does not. He says, the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man, but blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. He's our strength. He's our rock. He's our deliverer. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? From the government to my bank to my job has let me down over the last 30 years. Money has let me down over the last 30 years. People have let me down over the last 30 years. But I stand here to tell you, after 30 years of walking with God, hallelujah, pray God, He's never let me down. He's never failed me when I stood on His word and I stayed out of fear and I stayed out of unbelief and I believed Him to deliver me. My God has delivered me every time I stand before you today. I was in debt over $100,000. I don't know how much, way more than that, praise God. And today the banks don't own nothing. And I've lost one thing out of my walk with God, and it was a dumpster. And I was tired of smelling it when I turned in my driveway anyhow. Garbage is a good thing to lose in the middle of a battle. Right? Garbage. But you know what? I had to stand on the word. See, Jesus, the blessing is already on your life. Come on, somebody. Is Jesus in your heart or not? You born again? If you ain't born again, with the blessing ain't in you yet. It's not on you. Empowerment's not yours right now. But we're here to tell you. Bible says, follow after those. You can pattern yourself after us Christians. Now, but God, that's a bold statement. Somebody like, oh, don't do like I do. No, if you feel like that, you're going to have to rise up, pray God, and you're going to have to get a little deeper, let this Jesus live a little deeper, because you need to be confident that your life with God, that everybody that you know lost needs what you got. Now, I'm not up here telling you today that I'm a perfect man. I've got a lot of flaws. I've got a lot of things that I'm working on, that I need to work on. And I'm sure when I get to where I think I'm in pretty good shape, here will come another door. That's the way it's been. I thought, ooh, yeah, this faith thing, glory to God. Then here comes a big devil. A big thing. Bigger levels, bigger devils. You know, you can get so rich spiritually. I mean, that. Did you know, spiritually, we can grow spiritually. Spiritually is like our inward man spiritually growing is like you start a savings account. And you put money in that savings account every week, you know, and for you, I mean, you're growing some substance in there. You know, you're getting, and that's the way it is spiritually. I mean, you were bankrupt before Jesus came into your life spiritually. Bankrupt. You were bankrupt. I don't care if you never stole a candy bar or not. You were not right when you were spiritually bankrupt. Somebody told me one time, they said, you know, you're not supposed to have money and stuff, you know, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and they'd say, you know, you're just supposed to be spiritually rich. I said, well, you know what? Your God that you say you serve told me. What's that? I said, he told me that when I was lost, I was bankrupt spiritually. But when I gave my heart to Jesus that day, I became rich spiritually. I became alive unto God, right? I became rich spiritually. So see, this life of Jesus is already blessed. The word blessing in the Bible, if you study it and look it up, it simply says an empowerment to be successful. An empowerment to have a good marriage. You don't say that, but it's an empowerment to succeed. It's an empowerment to be successful at work, at your workplace. It's an empowerment to be successful in your relationships with people. It's an empowerment that is on you through that life to cause you to triumph in everything, as long as you do it God's way. As long as I yield God's way. I remember one time, now before I got saved, I wasn't scared of nobody. I mean, honestly, I'll just say that. That was stupid because I'm a little bitty guy, you know. And so, I wasn't scared of nobody, not the cops, not nothing, you know. They'd threaten me and I'd say, put me in jail, you know, y'all blankety blanks. You don't have to feed me. You know, at least I won't have to go to work. I'll lay in there. Big deal. You know, I mean, that's rebellion. Well, I get born again, and God, I'm knelt down on the front pew, and I have this desire. I knew in here, I told Teresa, we're starting the church. Roy Ralph was there. I think it was Roy Ralph, wasn't it? No. When I said, I believe I'm called a preacher. I'm going to be a preacher. Smart. Brother Smart was there. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And I'm on my way to church, and I told Teresa, I said, you know what? I said, man, if I don't get this out of me, I'm going to be a preacher. She said, everybody thinks that. I mean, we're saved. She didn't say it like that. I make it funny. You know, I don't know. She probably said it worse than that. No, you know, ain't no telling she may have cussed me. We still cussed a little when we got saved now. I mean, if we get put under pressure, see, whatever you're full of is going to come out. See, that's why you got to empty out and fill up with God. Right? I mean, you're being emptied, whether we know it or not, when we're serving God. He's emptying us out. We don't really know if there's vinegar in her or not, or you know, lemon juice in her or not, you know. But when you get squeezed, you're gonna get mad. See, that's still in there. Well, we're going through this big, great trial and everything, and I've endured for over a year. This trial we went through lasted a couple of years, long time. Somebody say a long time. See, some people can't make it 10 hours. But God's going to take you through the fire and through the flood and bring you, and then you're going to be able to make it 3 months. And then you're going to be able to endure all the way to the end, right? Those that endure to the end. Not those that quit in the wilderness. Not those that stop when they get older. The older I get, the more determined. I'm gonna retire from everything but God. I'm going to retire from everything but church. I'm believing I'm gonna be just took out of here behind the pulpit. I have no plans to retire from being a minister. Why? Because the Bible says that our call is not took back. It's without repentance. And so, anyways, we're going through that. Teresa, she's bedridden at this time. We lost Judah. He's in heaven, you know. And praise God, we'll see him when we get there. And we're going to name him Judah, you know, and he come premature and didn't make it, you know, and all that. But she's bedridden, laying in the living room, and I'm having to come and run the church, and she can't mow the yard, can't do anything and all of that. And then this one guy, he tells me, he says, and I'm saying this for a reason, because I understand pressure. I understand feeling defeated. I understand feeling like you're not going to make it. I understand feeling like, God, you've got to move or I ain't going to. I understand all that. But I understand that God is a unmovable, solid, faithful, on-time God. Some say he's mysterious. God works in mysterious ways, like God is mysterious. God is not mysterious. He works in ways that we might not think he would work, but that don't make our God a mysterious God. And he does not work in mysterious ways. If he wanted me to believe that, he'd tell us in the Bible, you know, I'm God, I am that I am, and I'm mysterious, and I want y'all to know that I'm mysterious. That garbage didn't come from this Bible right here. God made his ways known to Moses and his acts made known to the children of God. He revealed them to Moses and he made them known to the children of Israel. And it wasn't, he's not a mysterious God. Hallelujah. Well, I go on, you know, and this guy, he says, He owed me money, and I mean, we're fixed. I mean, our finances are fixed at this time, buddy. I mean, I need more than what coming in, period. And I'm under great pressure. I'm under pressure not to come and let the church know that we're behind on everything. Not that I was trying to hide it. I told God, let me go. And, you know, tell them, man, they'll take up an offering for me. And these people love me. They would help me. And God said, no. He said, I thought you believed me. Anyways, I said, well, fine then. Whatever God wants, he knows best. Instead of rebelling against God, I went on. I went on and I thought, well, bless God, I don't see it, but he's an on-time God. I will not lose nothing. I stood on the word of God. You got to stand on that word when everything looks contrary to that word to you and feels contrary to the word. The word of God is all the evidence that you need to know that you have victory because Jesus is in your life and God is in you. God is with you. God is for you. God is not against you. Well, the guy says, blah, 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 something wanted a wall plug. I said, well, I'm not an electrician, man. You know, well, that comes along with the garage door opener, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not even licensed to be blah. Anyhow, he said, I'm telling you right now, he said, I'm going to give you this of it and I'm going to keep some of it. And I thought, this is the last draw. And so I went and called Doris up. And she didn't know what I was doing. And I said, hey, Doris, I said, could you come over and stay with Teresa for a little bit? Oh, yeah, I'll be right over. I said, okay. I said, good. I didn't say nothing. I'm just happy. Think I'm not happy. And so gets over and talks. On her way over there, I called him up. And I said, hey, man. I said, this Scotty Blunt over at the door, you're going to be home in about 45 minutes or so? And he says, oh, yeah, buddy, I'll be here. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to come see you. He said, well, come on. Clink. Doris got there, and I said, I'll be back in a little bit. I got in my truck, prayed God, and I thought, you know what? When this Christian right here, just done with him, God, I'm down here, and I can't help it no more. I mean, he's trying to destroy blah, 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 you know. And so I just cut God off, and I thought, this is what I'm going to do, blood God. And I planned it out in my mind, and I'm headed up to Arab, Alabama. He lives in Arab, Alabama. He ain't too far off. And I spent 20 minutes, and I envisioned in my mind. See, my daddy taught me how to play pool and try to get 5 steps ahead. When you shoot, you know what fifth ball you're going to hit before you hit the first one when you make one. And so I planned it. I planned it out, and I thought, you know what? This dude won't never do nobody like that again. I'm going to help everybody he deals with from here out. They going to owe me. Everybody going to owe me. And so I imagine what I was going to knock on the door, and he's going to come and answer the door. And when he opens the door, I'm coming up with an uppercut. My oldest brother taught me how to do an uppercut. And he would lay them up on the pool table, knock them out, one shot. But I wasn't that tall, so I never got them up on the pool table. You know? And so I'm going up through there, and I thought, I'm feeling good. How many knows your flesh feels good when it's in control? You know, I mean, you feel like now I'm in control. Now I can do something. Now things will happen. See, that's what the enemy wants you to feel like. He wants you to start taking control so that God and the anointing and the Holy Spirit and the angels and all the things that we have cannot be at our advantage. Now I've got demons sitting in my truck. And they're helping me visualize this. They're giving me thoughts. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to uppercut him, and he's going to slide back. I'd been in his house, so I knew where he's going to come, you know. And I thought, when I hit him, he's not even going to have time to move because I'm going to be on top of him. And then I'm going to get him, and he ain't going to be able to move his hands because you get pop, 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 pop. You know, you ain't got time to think. Hit him inside the head and all that. And then I thought, but if he does do that, I'm going to skinny on up there and get his arms under my leg and have him right here. I done thought it all out. See, what had happened, Satan had got me to yield because of the pressures that I was under. Because of the hardship I was going. That's what the children of Israel, we might have did the same thing in that wilderness, man. It wasn't easy for these people. I'm not making excuses for them, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have the anointing. We have Jesus in our life that they did not have indwelling in them, and we have it. I mean, that's for real. You know, they had God with them, and all of that, you know, but they didn't have what we got. We're in a new covenant, man, you know. And so, anyhow, I'm up through there, and I get up through there up 231, and praise God, I thought, well, you're going to go to jail. And I thought, I don't care. I'll let the church know I did it, praise God. They'll take me back. They'll have to look. They have to forgive me. I thought, I'll lose my ministry. And I thought, I won't lose nothing. They need to see a warrior. By golly, they need to see somebody that won't lay down and let somebody just rob them. That was thoughts coming from the enemy. You know, but I thought, they need to see a warrior. This world don't, just because we're saved don't mean we're pushovers and we just lay down and be doormats. Especially when it comes to Jesus and the Word. Now, I was led by the devil. This was not God. So I get up there, and I'm fixing to go under the underpass, 69 and 231. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, pray in tongues. And I said, I'm not praying in tongues. I don't want to pray in tongues. I'm not praying. I know what happens, Brad, when you pray. I know what happens when you pray in tongues. I know what happens. And so anyways, I'm going up through there and I thought, I'm not praying in tongues. Like that, and I thought, man, pray in tongues. And I thought, I'm not praying in tongues. I don't want to pray in tongues. I want to get, I'll pray in tongues when I leave this house. You know? And then I go about it, I go about another mile, and then I thought, oh well, what's the use? What it ain't gonna hurt nothing, you know. So I and people that teach you can't pray in tongues, let's say somebody to prophesy, they don't know what they're talking about. That's a gift God give me. It's not for the church, it's for me. Praying in the Spirit. Building myself in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. They've got them mixed up. They don't know what they're talking about. That the gift of prophecy, they pray in tongues with an interpreter. I didn't need an interpreter right then. I needed help. Right? So I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues, you know, and I'm just praying. And then all of a sudden it broke. I mean, it just broke. And I felt like I loved that guy. I felt like I loved him. I'm being honest with you. This is a true 100%. Most people wouldn't get up here and tell you that. You're a pastor. You're a leader of the body. You know, I've had to apologize to my son more than once for getting upset with people because God wouldn't let me go on and show a bad example to my son. Now, most of these people, I could whip them still right now. I'm young. I mean, I don't feel like I'm a pushover. I'm not a pushover to the devil. I'm not one bit scared of that devil, and I'm not afraid of the economy. I'm not dependent on the government. I'm not dependent on the next 4 years of man getting here and straightening everything out. There ain't but one man that can straighten this world out, and that's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's anointed men and women of God. It's going to take the anointing on men and women in the offices. There ain't none of this fear. That's why there's so much confusion in parties that ain't acknowledging our God. But anyhow, I'm not on that. And so I thought, oh, Jesus. I thought, man, I was fixing to hurt this old man. He wasn't that old, but, I mean, you know, he's old. And then I thought, well, bless God, you know what? Just get the ticket and sign it and give it to him. And so I pulled up there, you know, and I knocked on the door. And, yeah, can I help you? I said, hey, man. I said, you know, bring that ticket that you got where you owe me money. I said, he said, well, I can tell you right now, I'm knocking off. I said, all of that's fine. All of that's fine. Bring it to me. Just bring it to me. He brought me that ticket, and I laid it down there, took my ink pen, and I marked paid in full. This check right here is going to put me on under. I marked paid in full. He picks that ticket up, and he looks at that ticket, and he looks at me, and I said, sir, you don't owe me nothing. You just keep it. Pay your electrician. You keep the rest of it. I'm fine with that. I said, you have a good day. I started to turn around, and he said, hey, buddy. He said, you hold on right here a minute. I said, yes, sir. He goes off over there, comes back, writes me a check in full, Brad. In full. Give the Lord some praise. Come on. He deserves some praise. Hallelujah. But now my point in that, see, it don't make no difference what you're going through. The indwelling power, that's what the blessing is. Proverbs 10:22. Money's in it too. But the blessing is an empowerment from God that came. It is in our life that is on the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus wouldn't have hit him and give him an uppercut and jumped on him and planned all that. Jesus would have forgave him. Jesus would have given it to him. The Bible says, give and it shall be given a good measure. You're pressed down, shaking together. And that turn of events, I didn't lose my ministry. I didn't lose my church. I didn't lose my salvation because you can't walk in God and walk that way. I didn't lose any of that. And I learned something. I learned when I left there, I thought, glory. I mean, I praised Him all the way back. I got the full amount, God. I thank You, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I'd be in jail right now. I'd be sitting there and then I'd have, I told my brother one time, this guy's name was Danny Hicks. He was the probation officer. And I told my brother every weekend, I'd tell him for the weekend, you're going to see your daddy. I mean, the boy went to jail and he was on probation. Most of his teenage life, he was on probation. So I told him one day, I said, I think Danny's your daddy. Man, you down there, you see him more than you see daddy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I was praising God all the way back. So listen to me. I know you're fighting battles. I know the enemy comes to your thoughts and all of that. I know he does all of that, trying to get you to yield like I was doing. He tries to get you to be mad at your neighbor. I mean, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but this tack, the leadership of this tack, this church got under attack. And I mean, he tried to get half of the people in here offended at one another. Leadership. You know, he's strategic. And you know what, praise God? I felt like I'm the only one standing in his way right now. I'm going to be the peacemaker. It ain't going to happen. So I kind of felt like Trump said one time, he said he's after y'all. I just happen to be standing in the way. See, you ought to be the one standing in the devil's way in your family. You ought to be the one standing in the devil's way concerning your friends and people that's getting upset. And you see them getting upset, you ought to come back and say, no, let God in there. Let God, you ought to be the one standing in the way of the devil. Hallelujah. I stood in the way of the devil in this ministry. I withstood him, praise God, not in my own strength. See, we're defeated without this empowerment. So we have no power to even resist Satan without the power of God. But we got it. We're not without His power. We have all the power we need. There's no devil big enough that's on these principalities and powers, these different rankings in Ephesians. You know, guy told me one time, he said, well, you know, this kind cometh out by prayer and fast. I just had read the whole scripture in there the night before of the Bible where they took him to Jesus, couldn't cast it out. They brought it to Jesus and Jesus cast it out. And he said, the disciples said, why couldn't we do it? They'd been doing it. He said, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind cometh out by prayer and fasting. Like that, you know, and that guy talked. But you go on down and read the rest of it. He said, because of your unbelief. So a preacher told me one time, he said, well, you know, there's just some big devils. You know, like Jesus said, this kind cometh out by prayer, and you got to pray and fast. I said, that's not what Jesus said. That it don't say devils come out by prayer and fasting. It says you cast them out. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where it says demons come out by fasting and praying. I said, you need to read the rest of that scripture. See, look, if you want to know truth and you love truth and you love God and you seek God, Satan can't slip these things past you without you knowing it. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Is that what our word says or not? It says it. Well, I just happen to believe it, don't you? That there's no weapon formed against me. It might form, but I'll realize what it is, just like I did up there at Arab. That weapon formed against me, and I was going and using that weapon. I was going to take up that carnal one, and it was going to bring destruction. But God intervened because I chose to let Him. Me and you have to choose. Well, Satan can't slip nothing in. So I told that guy, I said, that's not what the Bible says. I said, in other words, what you're saying, there's just some big devils that this has, we just can't do nothing with without we fast and pray. I said, that's not what Jesus said. I said, go read the rest of that. He told them that unbelief comes out by fasting and praying. I said, he was talking about unbelief. He wasn't talking about that devil comes out. Jesus didn't sit there and fast. Now, he had come out of the wilderness fasting and praying. I don't know how long it's been. Probably not yesterday. Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus, right? Spirit of the Lord's in us, right? He's on us, in us, all that. We do need to fast. We fast regular here at Faithway Christian Center. My pastor taught us to. He taught us at church. I mean, we went in a movement where they were fasting 24 hours a day. And I'm like, God, what's wrong with this church? I mean, doing without food this long, you know, I mean. I come out of a denomination, you know, we eat every feast. I mean, we have feast. So fasting was far from our religion. Don't even bring that up, dude. You know, so I fall in there with that. So look, what I'm saying this morning, let the life of Jesus Christ come out. Let it come out. I mean, my marriage, I will never get a divorce. I'm not against people getting a divorce. This is my own personal conviction. You know what conviction is? Convincing. I'm convinced I will never be broke again another day in my life right here out of this Bible. I'm convinced that sickness and disease cannot keep me down. I'm convinced that open heart surgery can't keep me out of church and doing the will of God. I'm convinced now I can do things to hurt myself, and most of that was my fault, and God told me, you know, through doctors to do different things and all that. How many knows that's God? God telling you down there, do this and do this. You know, lower your cholesterol, don't eat all that pig, whatever the case might be, you know. I mean, He gives you wisdom, right? We gotta work with healing. We can't work against healing and then bleed for healing. We got to work with healing. We got to work with it, you know. And then we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I didn't get to none of my scriptures. That's the way it is around here, though. Guy got upset one time. He don't ever give no scriptures. And I'd always give scriptures, but it's like God just, every time, just wouldn't let me read no scriptures, you know. Just read no scriptures. So he says, brother, you need to have scripture to back it up. I said, you need to know your Bible. And you'll know whether I'm quoting scriptures or not. I said, besides that, I said, I didn't choose to do that. I said, the anointing comes on me, and I don't think nothing about it. I'm just, you know, I'm doing what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. I said, you have a problem with that. I said, so, you know, you have a problem with your God. I said, I'm not your problem. Of course, I ain't never seen him again, Brad, but that's okay. You know, praise the Lord. You know, so I want to encourage you. Let the enemy rage. The Bible says, "Don't envy the sinners when they prosper in their way. They'll be cut off." He said, "But you rely on me. You delight yourself in me. You acknowledge me. You fight for the will of God in your life. Fight for your marriage. I mean, fight for it." I told Travis, we even revealed him when he had that. What's that MySpace stuff? He dating Beth and talking to these girls. Is your legs tired? You know, they've been running through my mind. Using that Will Smith garbage. You know, and Beth's girlfriend. I told him, I said, you know, we're going to tell Beth here. We ain't going to allow him to do that, Brian. We're not going to allow him to do that. Why? Number one, it's against the Lord. And number two, it's against the young lady. So I told him, I said, when you marry somebody, you're not going to try it. You're not trying marriage. That's not biblical. You make a commitment. You make a commitment. You take on her life. And I told him, I said, and you do marry her family. You married them too. And later on when they said, but what, get along? I said, I told you married them. They're in the family, homie. You know, praise the Lord. But you know, telling him, and then he comes up, he gets this, I gotta quit, we gotta unload the food. He comes up and his heart goes to getting a little cold towards the Lord. He praises the Lord for 14 years. He's not braggadocious on that. He knows that God intervened. He knows that God stepped in. But he had two godly people in his life, his parents, that would not side with him in his ungodliness and threatened to let him leave our property and best stay, and we're going to help her get a job and blah, blah, blah. And he realized right quick that I am wrong. This has been years ago. You know, well, the emotional part of me, you know, wanted to side with my son, you know, but I knew that God, the blessing couldn't be on it. And so we sided against him. Jesus said, don't put our kids before him. No man that leaves father and mother and brothers and sisters, right? For my sake and the gospel shall lose anything. Jesus made it clear. See, the scripture, it don't make us mean. It makes us bold. bold against what is not God, bold against unbelief, bold against fear, bold against poverty, bold against the things that comes against the kingdom, and then God backs us up. But you know what, praise God, today they're serving God. My two grandkids are in church. I'm teaching them how to tithe at a young age, 6 and 9. I'm teaching them how to honor God. I'm teaching them the ways of God so that when they get old, they won't struggle with how following God is. They go already know how to follow God. We ain't got to have a class back yonder for them. Somebody come to me one time, and I'll close with this for sure. At church, we're losing our youth. The church has got to do something. Our church, Brad, ours. I never did tell you nothing about it. It was useless, too. Why would I put a burden on you on that? We're losing the church. I said, the church is not your problem. I said, the church is not supposed to train your kids how to serve God. You are. I said, the church is not responsible for that. You know, if you lose your teenager, it's your fault. I said, you know, you can't depend on the church. I said, we're doing all we know to do. We got them, but we can't beat Jesus in them. You know, y'all get mad if we try to do that. I figured they'd get upset when I told the kids when I went in there teaching the youth. They come in there eating and all that, you know. And I said, hey, put all that food up. I said, it's training time to the youth, you know. I did it, Brad. I said, put all that food up and them drinks. Y'all get up earlier and eat breakfast, you know. Man, they want me to teach y'all. How am I going to teach y'all when y'all smacking and gulping? Goop, goop, goop. I mean, good Lord, man. Y'all can't be giggling around here. Well, before I quit, they're like, we want you to be our youth pastor. I said, not going to happen. I said, I'm an evangelist. But we love you. I said, I know it. I know we do, praise God. But you know what? I wasn't going in there being upset. We're reverencing God in here this morning. This is God's place. So I told that mama, I said, no, don't let Satan warp you up on that. The church is doing its job. We teaching the youth and blah, blah, blah. I said, but your kids have got to be taught at home how to have reverence and all of that. You teach them. You teach them how to honor God. Go to that house. Don't let them lay around. Blah, blah, blah. Fast at home. Make them read their Bible. Turn off that cartoon. Do something. Y'all are quiet. That's good stuff, though, ain't it? Praise the Lord. I mean, this sermon's worth over $1 million. I wouldn't sell it for that. Hallelujah. This thing will get you up to where you'll make millions one day. You'll be wealthy following this Jesus, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.